He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the Monday edition, January 10th, of the Best Stocks Now show. Should we rename the show Best Inverse ETFs now, Barry?
It's starting to appear that way.
Right? Our inverse ETFs are flying off the shelf today. You know, I saw this coming, but I didn't see it happening in the first six trading days. I thought it would take a few weeks, maybe a month or two. But no, instead, well, let's just get it over with. Let's just pull the bandage off. And now the good news is we have a new trend, believe it or not. And the trend is your friend. And you know what? It is really showing up here today in the market. And a lot of the evasive action, we haven't taken enough yet. We're going to take more today, and we're going to take advantage of this new trend that has emerged. What is that trend? Well, just look at ARK. ARKK again. The Nasdaq's down 320 today, down 2.2%. And that's where you find your long duration stocks. I talked about this in my newsletter over the weekend. I had a definition of a long-term duration stock versus a short-term duration stock. The Dow is down 435 right now. That's 1.2%. The S&P is down 74, and it's mostly centered in the long-duration stocks, while many of the short-duration stocks are holding up well today. Small caps down 1.4. Crude oil off a little bit today, down 42 cents. Gold just not going anywhere. It's at 1795. Silver not going anywhere. What is going somewhere, Barry? The 10-year. I said 1.77 is resistance. I said it's not going to hold. It's not. It's at 1.80. Therein is the biggest number that I have gone over here so far this morning. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, year 22 now, behind the mic and in this business as a professional money manager. And we've got a chartered financial analyst who understands the math of what is going on in the market. Barry, I'm not surprised at what is happening. The only thing that prevented this from happening a year ago was COVID. And, you know, as COVID spiked and came back, and that sent down commodity prices and oil prices, and it held the Fed at bay, and it caused massive buying in the bond market in a flight to safety. But there's been two events, I would say, that occurred during the end of last year, the last weeks, and in particular, last week here in the market. The first event I would call is that COVID now seems to be either it's a big pause or it's out of the way, and that is causing interest rates to go higher, believe it or not, because there was a lot of money that was tied up in the bond market afraid of the COVID shutdowns and lockdowns, which now seem to be, there doesn't seem to be another wave of COVID headed our way, number one. But number two is even bigger than that. Number two was in the details. Oh, boy. In the details of those Fed minutes, it showed that the Fed preferred rate hikes this year as opposed, well, I mean, they're going to do the tapering too. But the rate hikes have much more of an instantaneous impact on the market than the slow tapering. The market could have dealt. Would you agree with me here, Barry, that the market could have dealt, the longer duration stocks could have dealt with a very slow tapering? But now they're having a conniption, and they've turned topsy-turvy because of the wording in the Fed minutes. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Mr. Well, CF?
Yeah, yeah, you remember the first kind of the first thought, at least initially, was that, you know, they weren't going to happen concurrently, right? You know, taper was going to occur, taper down, and meaning, you know, what we mean by taper is reduce the number of bond buying purchases, and then eventually those bond buying purchases were going to go to zero.
Yeah.
And then that's when you knew then there that was the handoff to eventually lower interest rates, right? And so now it seems as if both of those things are going to essentially kind of at least partially occur concurrently. And the other piece is, you know, eventually the Fed has, you know, I think it's the biggest balance sheet ever. I forget what it is compared to 08-09, but it's actually much, much larger. And, they never actually got rid of everything off their, you know, got their balance sheet back down to where they really wanted it, you know, before, you know, since 08-09. They were getting there, but it didn't, of course, COVID came and it ballooned back up. So it's, that lies, I think, how quickly we've seen these moves. It's one thing we kind of saw these moves on the horizon, but
absolutely,
the speed at which it's occurred has certainly caught a lot of folks off guard.
But I'm almost glad that, like I say, we've ripped the Band-Aid off, because this trend started to develop a year ago, and I saw a real trend to play to make money from. But unfortunately, COVID came back into the picture in the form of Delta. And it kind of put the trend on hold. And what is that trend that we started to really move heavily into in February of last year? And then we had to back off. But this time, this is for real. There is a trend here. And there is a trend to make money, believe it or not. Even though you look at the blood in the streets right now and the market down, you have to be on the short side of long-duration stocks and sectors, and you have to be on the long side of the short duration stocks and sectors. And I tweeted out this morning to my subscribers and clients. I said, I'm just kind of glad that this moment has finally come to where there is a trend, and the only thing that could derail this trend would be COVID coming back in a big way. And I've been reading, the only thing I saw was one little variant of Omicron getting together with Delta.
Delta-cron. Yeah, it sounds okay. Like a transformer or something. It reminds
but
me.
So far, I'm not, worried about that too much. So that's kind of out of the picture, which creates tremendous demand on commodities again. And the trend that is now here to stay is we are now in a rising interest rate environment. And you still want to be a passive investor? If you're 70 years old, your passive investments are 70% in the bond market. Bond funds, and more particularly bond funds, that is a terrible place to be in bond funds. The bond market is standing right on the tracks of a freight train coming around the bend, which has already run over Cathie Wood's and ARK and the long duration transformational. That's the number one target of higher interest rates, are the long duration stocks. And we're going to continue to emphasize this fact and try to educate folks on what long duration stocks. I know you're familiar with the term long duration and short duration in the bond market, but it applies, I would say, even more to the stock market as we're learning, as we're seeing these long duration stocks. I looked at two stocks, I think, that tell the story here on Friday. Alcoa is breaking out to new highs, and Roku continues to break down to new lows. You say, well, what is the difference? One is a short duration stock with dividends and profitability now, and the other one is still looking for profitability somewhere down the road. And I've been saying that it's only going to get worse for the transformational type stocks. I see that ARK is down another 3.8% today. I mean, she's down 15% in the first week of 2022. So I believe, and I spent a lot of time over the weekend. I pretty much went through my entire database of stocks, and I saw what was up in the first week of the year and what was down. It was the clearest trend I've seen in the market for a long, long time. It was a trend I saw last February, but unfortunately it didn't stick. Okay, this time I feel very strong conviction that this trend is going to stick, and I'm going to be making a lot of moves today. I've already made a lot. You know, we have a short position on ARK. We have a short position on the S&P 500 through ETFs. We have a short position, a leveraged short position on the biotech sector. If ever, Barry, there was a definition of a long-duration sector, the biotech sector, right?
Yeah, they combination. It's a combo of that and speculation, right? Because, it's either in the biotech world, right? Those of course, those earnings are far off, so that's your duration piece. And then if they're going to pay off, right, that's the speculation piece, right? It's an either-or decision.
And they got to borrow money at higher and higher rates to try to get there, if they ever get there. Anyways, you may be looking at the market today and saying, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. No, I see opportunity. I see opportunity. And we're going to talk more about this when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's best inverse funds and best short-term duration stocks now. You know, another reason I believe that the market is came unglued here and is coming unraveled here today, this is going to be a big week. There's a couple of big economic reports that will come out on Wednesday and Thursday. Barry, what are those economic reports?
I know.
You happen to know?
Most important, I know we got inflation report is coming out, and that's I didn't get past the second one. That's the main one then.
Well, they're both inflation related. Okay. On January
price,
the 12th.
Consumer price,
there you go. On January the 12th, Wednesday, we're going to get the CPI data. That's the consumer price index. That's all I know is oil has gone from $63 a barrel to $83 a barrel, or 80. I guess we're right just under 80 right now. And, you know, a prime rib at Costco was $395, you know. There's got to be some oomph in that CPI, I would think, unless they somehow doctor the numbers. I don't know how you would do that. And then the very next day on Thursday, January the 13th, we'll call it, you're going to get the PPI, the Producer Price Index. And, you know, I mean, the producers, they rely a lot. I mean, the input, a lot of that input is petroleum-related. And, of course, the cost of shipping and delivery. I got to believe that's hurting companies like Amazon and I think UPS said today that not only do they have a worker shortage, but input costs are going up. So the market is freaking out now. And I'll tell you another reason why the market is freaking out today. Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs, I think, is the first big major wirehouse firm that, you know, people tend to listen to Goldman Sachs. They said there's going to be four interest rate hikes this year in 2022, and the Fed has definitely left kind of that equation open for as many as it takes to get in front. Well, they're not in front. They're behind inflation. They are not in front of inflation. I'm sorry. The time to take a preemptive strike was last January, a year ago, so they're at least a year late. But the problem is, and now trying to get caught up on where interest rates should be versus the inflation numbers that are coming out, they're way behind the curve. And they're going to have to go faster on the rate hikes, and you can see how the market is reacting to that. The market is freaking out. However, okay, let's now get to the good side of this equation. Okay, over here on one side of the street, you got a blizzard. The wind is blowing, and, you know, it's in your face, and and it's Teladoc, and it's Zoom Info, and it's Peloton, and
you
it's
forgot your coat.
Roku. What? Which one?
I said, and you forgot your coat.
Yeah, you forgot your. You're still invested in ARC funds. That's you know what I'm saying. You've got pneumonia, and the amazing thing to me is the people invested in the long duration stocks are still doing it, but. You know, they don't have to be, all right? You don't have to do that. But not only are they still doing it, they're doubling down. And billions of dollars are disappearing. I read here, let me find that little nugget of information. The outflows out of the ARC funds, unprecedented outflows, suggest more downside for Cathy Wood's ARC Invest. Well, and the article starts off like this. Some are saying that the recent tech sell-off may be an opportunity to buy the dip. Okay, now we've been saying for the last 12 years that has been the case. Every sell-off in the NASDAQ has been an opportunity to buy. I'm going to say that this is finally, we finally reached the point, a major pivot point in the market. And that entire pivot point is being brought about by one thing, interest rates. That's what's impacting. It's simply impacting that equation that we use, especially I value stocks more on earnings, Barry, but where it impacts me on my earnings valuations is it lowers my multiple. Okay, if you're a discounted to cash flow guy, which you are pretty much, you see that it's all you got to do is plug in a couple of different interest rates and see what that does to the valuation of the stock. And, of course, it's that long end. The longer it's going to take to get your money back is kind of, here's what I put in the newsletter. In its purest form, duration measures the length of time required for cash flows from an asset to fully repay the initial investment. In the case of equities, long-duration equities are those that are expected to deliver a higher proportion of future cash flows in the distant future. There's the key. In contrast, short-duration equities are expected to deliver a higher proportion of cash flows in the near future. So, in other words, Ford and GM all over Rivian and Lucid. Is that a pretty good definition? Pretty good
simple,
example.
Yeah, simple enough. And not to mention Rivian and and Lucid and those fringe EV names. They're going to need more money also in that interim, and so then your cost of capital is also going up. So there's
it's going to be harder for them to do secondary offerings and keep the money coming in. I mean, they just, anytime they need money, they just float more shares. They go back to the bank. That's their ATM machine. But I got to believe that high risk, long-term capital is going to dry up a little bit. And it's going to be harder to get, investors to speculate in their startups. That's the way I see it. It's just like, it's kind of like the perfect storm for that area of the market. So, you know, how do you take advantage of this? Well, number one, there are inverse funds on just about everything. I mean, when you can find an inverse fund that specifically is inverse ARC ETF, and, you know, like you can find inverse funds on the biotech sector, I just explained, that's one of the most, if there's a definition of a long-term duration sector, it's the biotech sector, it's the startups, it's the electric cars that don't have a product yet. And unfortunately, there's not an inverse fund yet. There's one in Canada on the cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies aren't exactly a long-term asset, but would you agree, Barry? They're a risk asset, okay? We really don't know what is underlying and underpinning the valuations of Ethereum. But you know what? People don't even care at this point. They just want out of risk assets. And the two biggest bubbles in the market, which I said were the EV sector and crypto, are continuing to implode. Now, when we come back, we're going to go to the other side of the street. Is that okay? I'm going to take my coat off. I'm going to go to the other side of the street where it's sunny. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the sunny side of the street half of today's Best Docs Now show. We just talked about the blizzard side of the street, which is biotechs, transformational stocks, startups, SPACs, electric vehicles, anything that it's a long ways off. I mean, you invest your money today. And how long, how many years will it take for you to even break even? The stock, okay, that's one thing. But we're talking about if you were investing in a, as if it were a private company, okay? How long will it take for that company to be making enough cash flow for you to be made whole on your original investment? And anything that is out there way in the future, you want to take advantage of that right now and find inverse funds. Now, if you're savvy enough to short inverse stocks or short long-duration stocks, that's another option also. They're just going to continue to get hammered. Now, I prefer to do it through ETFs because, you know, I manage a lot of IRAs. We manage a lot of IRAs, Barry. We're not allowed to short stocks in IRA, so I have to use inverse ETFs. We've already employed three. You got to say, Barry, I was pretty busy. You know, I got rested up. It's a good thing I got rested up over the holidays. I came back on Monday and I was like, what? The last 5 days were very busy here.
Well, and ever since, you know, ever since Thanksgiving. I mean, that Friday after Thanksgiving, it's, you know, the market's taken, you know, kind of a completely different narrative to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So.
And I made the final nail was when those minutes came out from the Fed, and I took even more drastic action. Now I'm going to try to finish that off here today. But the long side of the market, believe it or not, I'm going to give you one chart to look at here to just kind of illustrate my point. Nothing illustrates a point better than a stock flying to the upside on a day when the market. UNTY. Okay, is this something Kathy Wood's buying? Is this a flying robo-taxi? No. It's a bank operating in 19 offices in New Jersey counties and 2 offices in Northampton County, Pennsylvania. It's up 6.1% today, and it's hitting a new high. No sector has done better since the beginning of the year in a rising interest rate environment than the bank sector. Now, I remember back in 2003, 2004, there's a lot of people that have just gotten into the market in recent years playing the cryptos, playing GameStop, playing other things. I wouldn't trade the experiences and the cycles I've witnessed since 1998, 1999, right in there when I got into the business. I wouldn't trade the experience with anything. And I remember in 2003, 2004, one of the few places to make money was, well, number one, it was value. It was definitely a value market after the crushing blow that the NASDAQ took and as now seems to be underway again. The banks, the most boring sector in the market. You know, last year when I was adding stocks to the ETF, or I mean to the app, there were so many going public. There would be a bank stock, and I say, oh, I've got so many bank stocks. Do I need to add another bank stock to the app? And then I would always say to myself, they're going to come in handy someday. They're going to come in very handy. Everything kind of comes around in the market, Barry. You know, stuff that was popular in 2003, 2004 has now risen to the top of the heap, and it's their day in the sun. And I would say another big factor if a stock pays a dividend and has a low PE ratio, that's a big plus. Now, I like growth on top of that. But even you're seeing these big high PE stocks like Exxon and AT&T and IBM, they're rising because in a rising interest rate environment, they are the epitome of short duration stocks. Barry, if a company pays a big dividend, you're getting back your investment just in the form of the dividend, and that speeds up. That makes it by nature a short term duration stock. The money is there now. And if you look, man, as I went through 6,000 stocks, what's up so far this year? What's down? The biggest pattern I saw, and I believe that this pattern is here to stay, and I've seen this group before, regional banks.
RF, yeah. Regions Financial. Oh, yeah. We've owned them in the past, owned them. You know, like you said, probably a little early last year.
Exactly. But, you know,
last week they went. I mean, they were going through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Now we weren't early. We just didn't anticipate COVID coming back. We thought COVID was behind us and people were coming back to work. And what derailed? You know, we've known for a long time that a rising interest rate environment was in the making, and it showed up in February of last year. Big time, and it went very, very quickly. And then all of a sudden, COVID came along, and interest rates went right back down. I mean, they went up like 50 basis points, and then they went right back down 50. And that kind of killed, you know, we had an initial surge in those stocks. We were buying banks. We were buying financials. I remember owning Lincoln National, an insurance stock, last February. But, you know, COVID, which we didn't anticipate, that's an extraordinary event, came back into the mix and lowered interest rates. Well, now there doesn't seem to be a COVID in the future. If it does, you know, it's going to take interest rates back down again. But for now, it seems like there's nothing to stop interest rates. And this breakthrough today, of, I said 1.75, 1.77, that's the lid, that's resistance. Bang, it went through that. It's going through that right now. Now, maybe we'll get a cooler-than-expected inflation report. I don't think that will help. I think the Fed has already made up their mind that they're going to raise rates several times this year. And the market so far has only factored in one rate hike. Is that right? I mean, we've gone up 0.25% since the Fed announced their intention. So I think that, you know, the banking and the financial sector – pull up our newsletter from last February, the number two sector, and this is boring as all get out, is the insurance sector. You know, everybody's eyes glaze over. How can I own an insurance stock? They are the very epitome. They're on a silver platter right now of short-duration stocks. And then, of course, other areas, the third one, big oil. Oh, my gosh, big oil. Not only do they have, if COVID continues to, you know, stay subdued, oil demand is coming back. We have been, you know, decreasing our production of oil. We're now more reliant on OPEC than we have been in a long time. They pretty much control the spigot. We've seen what Putin, that's why Putin is so interested in Kazakhstan. You know, it's almost like Putin is putting the pieces back together of the USSR, you know, and obviously he wants the two richest states that they used to have control over. One is Ukraine, which is the food chain of Russia and the former USSR. And right there in the middle, the biggest landlocked country is Kazakhstan, which has the uranium and the oil and the gold, okay?
And gas.
No wonder he's sending his troops. He sees an opportunity in Kazakhstan. And I would say the number four sector. And there's really nothing else outside of this other than low PE stocks from other sectors. But number four is going to be the natural resources, which you know, we're creating artificial shortages in the natural resources because of the big move to control climate change. Natural resources, we haven't transitioned away from them. It's going to take a long, long time. And, you know, I would just say in the natural resources front, that's why we're seeing a sell-off in lithium, because that's a long-duration commodity, while oil is a very short duration. It's in the ground now. We need it now. And you've got Exxon and BP paying these giant dividend yields. So,
and it's very capital intensive to get that lithium out. I mean, Lithium of America's, I don't know if they've mined any lithium yet. They've got some deposits, but the cost of getting that lithium out of the ground is not a cheap endeavor.
No, and a lot of the lithium is in countries that are going to communism. That's a little bit of a problem also. Okay, well, when we come back, I'll give some specific examples. I think I'm going to kind of stick with ETFs, maybe a few stocks. This is the Best Sectors Now show, the Best Short-Term Duration Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Short Duration or Best Inverse ETFs Now. That's the mantra as we begin a new year. I told you that this year would be a lot different from last year. Last year was a lot different from the year prior to that. Last year had a very big false start in February, March of this, late January, February of this environment that we're in now, which to me it looks like the environment we're in now is going to stick, because the Fed backed off. The Fed did nothing last year. They didn't do anything. They kept their balance sheet. They kept their bond buying purchases. They didn't taper. They never really even hinted at raising rates. In fact, they continued to suggest that we don't see any rate hikes anytime soon.
Transitory.
And that was because, and then the transitory inflation that was just here because we were going back to work from COVID. Well, that whole scenario changed as oil prices started to move, as commodity prices started to move, as inflation started to pick up. That's what really, that was the ill wind that blew that really got the Fed nervous and realizing, we're about a year behind the curve here. We didn't think inflation would come along this quickly. It's not transitory. It's going to be here for a while. We better do something. And we better do something sooner rather than later. We are now in a rising interest rate environment, which we haven't seen. Well, I don't know when. I guess you got to go back to 2006, 2007, when hiking rates.
Yeah, I mean, we had the rate hike that led up to 2000 to Powell being the Grinch for 2018. That was kind of short lived because whatever they did, they unwound right.
They undid
in 2019. So the net was zero. They just basically, you could call it a policy mistake to a certain extent, but that was it. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with a couple of our SARK is doing very well today. SARK. So all it misses is an H, and it'd be SHARK. SARK is an ETF seeking to produce investment results corresponding to the inverse performance of the ARK Innovation ETF. It's absolutely opposite ARK. And ARK is the very epitome of, just the name. The name of ARK, let me get that up here, is the innovation ETF, okay? It invests in genomics, automation, robotic, all stuff that's out on the frontier. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? I'm pulling for all of these companies, but as an investor in a rising interest rate environment, That's the last place you want to be parked. She's got a double whammy coming at her. She's invested in the wrong sector of the market, the worst sector of the market, number one. And don't forget, she doesn't just run the ARK fund. She runs the ARK FinTech fund. She runs the ARK Space Exploration fund. The ARK Genomic fund lost a third of its value last year. And she runs some other one, Transparency or Internet, something like that. Okay, our SARC is up almost 5% right now. It's up to 43. Wow. It came public. Somebody had a good idea, you know. In fact, he wrote to me, Tuttle Capital wrote me an email saying, thanks for mentioning our ETF. I guess they saw me on Twitter because I mentioned the ETF and you know, said that we own a little bit of it. And I said, I just think it's in the right place at the right time. And SARC is flying here off the shelf today. But the other, she's got a double whammy. She's also facing tremendous, when people call up, what do you call that, and sell the...
redemptions.
Redemptions. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I remember, you know, like a mutual fund, they gotta handle those redemptions that day. And she has to do the same thing with her ETF. If she gets $1 billion worth of redemptions, she's got to pretty much sell across the board. She doesn't sell one stock or two of her stocks. She sells across the board an equal amount to meet the redemptions. And the redemptions right now are horrendous at the ARK funds, which only makes the problem worse. Okay, it was a very narrow doorway getting into those stocks. It's an even narrower doorway to get out of those stocks, especially in the environment that we're in now. Who wants to buy the stocks that she has to sell? I mean, are we in the market right now for a big block of Roblox? I don't want to get run over by a Roblox.
Yeah, and the problem is, even if she wants to, you know, she who knows, she could be right, 3-4
eventually,
years down the road.
Yeah.
But the problem is, with, you know, as investors redeem, it doesn't, you know, she has
doesn't
to sell.
Matter.
It doesn't,
she has
that
to
doesn't
sell.
Matter. She's got to raise the cash to pay off the investors. So that in line, you know, that's where the issues, you know, is going to be. And it's been laid out prior to it. Just, you know, some folks, you mentioned that the volume and the amount of shares that, you know, float and the amount of shares that she owns of those names, you know, would be a problem if you had
big
some forced selling.
Yep.
And we're kind of in the middle of it. So.
Okay, now let's go to the long side, the sunny side of the street. How about an ETF that's up 9% so far? She's down 10. This one's up 9. It was up 36.4% last year. One of the most boring ETFs you're ever going to invest in, but boy, it's not boring right now. How about the KRE, which is the S&P Regional Bank ETF? So, you know, with the number of banks that are out there, I would kind of suggest you look at an ETF that covers them all, because there are just literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of small regional banks. Now, you get up into the bigger banks and the J.P. Morgans and the money center banks. Yeah, well, I mean, like Wells Fargo's doing great right now. And you mentioned Regions Financial, which is kind of a step down from a money center bank. It's a regional bank. And then if you really want to get crazy, I'm not even going to mention the symbol, you can look it up, but there's a 3x, three times regional bank. That's the number one ETF so far this year. Ah, a little dab will do you there.
Yeah,
so anyways,
the dice. Yeah,
woo,
three times.
But you know, regional banks by nature aren't that volatile. Okay, you get a little regional bank out of Ohio, it's not going to go down 34% tomorrow because it misses earnings by a penny. You know, they seem to, they're by nature, they're much less volatile than your average sector. All right, well, that's it. If you don't call us now, there's a big reason. You better get a portfolio review right now or you're in harm's way. 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter. It goes through all of this. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.